Sometimes, like one of my tricks is that I'll do kind of the things that I need to do before I put my kids to bed. Like I'll, wash my face and brush my teeth and all that stuff, like while they're doing it. And then when I put the kids to bed, like I put myself to bed right after. So even if I have an early wake up call, like I'm getting my 8 hours of sleep so that after my workout, I still have energy and I'm not feeling depleted. So I think you just have to be really smart about the other little things to make sure that your sport is not carrying over into your life.
If you're an avid runner and looking for help to understand the science, simplify the complicated, and remove hurdles so that your next run is not only fun and fulfilling, but also fuels you with passion and purpose, then you're in the right place. RunnerClick presents The Passionate Runner with your host, me, Whitney Hines. Hi, and welcome to episode 34 of Runner Clicks, the Passionate Runner Podcast. I am your host, Whitney Hines. I'm a lifelong runner, a certified running coach, and founder of themotherrunners.com, a resource for moms who run. And today, I get the pure joy of chatting with Andrea Pomeransky. She is an elite runner, a mom, and also a running coach. If you're not familiar with Andrea, she is super fast. At the age of 40, she is getting faster and faster. Some of her stats for you. She's the American Masters record holder for the women's road mile. She's got a marathon PR that she ran at Houston not long ago at 2:31. Her half marathon PR is a blazing 1:13. In 2022, she ran a 10-mile PR of 55:36. Her 1-mile road PR that I mentioned is a 4:45. In 2022, at the USATF Half Marathon Championship, she placed fifth, and she also placed seventh in the 2:31 at Houston that she ran not long ago. I'm going to share a little bit more about Andrea. This is in her words, and then after our short message from our sponsor, RunnerClick, we will get to that interview. This bio from Andrea, which is in her words. I've been through so much in my road to becoming an elite runner and have learned how to get through difficult times in our lives. So much good can lie ahead, even when we're in the middle of a dark period. When I was in the middle of mine, I just refused to believe that that was going to be the end of my story. So I just kept plowing ahead, knowing I would step out of those dark times eventually. Also, I really think consistency is important and it works over time. There's no substitute of just putting in the work day after day, even though it's really hard sometimes. As I mentioned, Andrea, she's an incredible human being. She's an incredible runner. Behind her, all of her amazing times is a story of loss and heartbreak. She suffered an immense loss that we talk about that would just make it hard for anybody to go on. And she was also told at one point in her running career that she wouldn't be able to run again. But through it all, she found her strength to pick herself up and keep going. And now as a master's runner, she's setting records. She's finishing as a top woman in major marathons. And her perspective on running, it's just really so uplifting and refreshing and genuine. So I really think you guys are going to enjoy my conversation with her after this short message from RunnerClick.
If you are an avid runner and looking for help to understand the science, simplify the complicated, and remove hurdles so that your next run is not only fun and fulfilling, but also fuels you with passion and purpose, then you are in the right place. RunnerClick presents The Passionate Runner with your host, Whitney Hines.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
It's great to see you. You are so, like, you look so beautiful. I'm sure this is, if this were recorded, like, 4 weeks ago, your hair would be back in a ponytail. And
oh, for sure. Yeah, it's funny. It's like the things that you have time to do when you're not, like, running 100-mile weeks. A bit of a downtime. So it's nice, like, actually can do my hair, brush my teeth.
How, do you kidding. Do well in this? Do you do well with the down, like the downtime, or do you kind of start driving yourself crazy?
Yes. So it is nice, but then after a while I'll find, it's funny, I feel like I'm like reverse, like nesting, like when your baby yes. comes, you're nesting, but it's like reverse. So it's not like before the marathon, it's after. And I'm just like cleaning and doing these, I'm just trying to keep, I don't know. But yeah, I actually like, I work so hard that I really do love to just kind of sit down and do nothing for a while, but usually that feeling kind of, you know, goes away quickly, and then I'm antsy to get back in.
Which is great. I mean, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. Yeah, I get the nesting feeling during the taper week.
Yes.
It's very similar. And then all the emotions are very similar, like the excitement, but the fear, mm-hmm. and then the anxiety and all the things, like, at least for me, which I'm starting to work with or work, you know, to get over, but like, oh, what if this goes wrong? Or what if I forget this? Or, you know, all
yeah,
that stuff.
But it's, I think, like, I feel that too. And I try to remind myself, my dad always told me this, like, that nervousness is a good thing. You just have mm-hmm. to learn to channel it for the right things. It means that you care. And then as long as you use it to make sure that you're prepared, then it can be a good thing.
I want to get into that. Like, how do you care, but not put like so much pressure? So we'll have to get to that, because I feel like you are a great embodiment of how to do that. Like, how to be a competitor, but also like just be so like graceful in doing it. I'd love to start first with you just kind of giving us your running background. Like, when did running, yeah. how did it come, get to where you yeah. are today?
Well, it's been a journey for sure. Yeah. So I started running. I was very active, like kind of right out the gates when I was little, but my family was more of like a multi-sport or like a baseball softball family. So I was really into softball at a very young age. I mean, I remember practicing with my dad year round. I mean, in middle school. And then in high school, like, my dream was always to play for the U.S. softball team.
Oh, wow. Really?
So yeah, when I was little. Yeah. And then when I was a sophomore, my friend, so our softball coaches would have us run like, I don't know, a couple miles, like twice a week. And I was running with one of the girls who was on the varsity cross country team. And she said, you know, like, you can run with me, you could probably make the varsity cross country team. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't want to just be like a one sport athlete, and I wasn't really that good at volleyball. So I said, I'll just do it to get a varsity pin to put on my letter jacket. And that was kind of like my motivation to try out for the team. And then I said, okay, well, it'll help me stay in shape for softball. And as it turned out, I ended up being like the number one runner on the team, and I started to win some races. And as high school went on, I gradually kind of just became better at running than I was at softball. So I decided there was probably more potential there. So I decided to run in college. So I went to Miami, Ohio, and I ran there.
Oh.
Yeah. So I ran 4 years in college. And then afterwards, and I was pretty successful. I was a three-time All-American, but I wasn't a national champion or anything like that. So when I graduated, I thought, okay, that was it. Like, I had a good college career, and this is where it stops. Especially, like, for females, there just weren't as many opportunities for females to pursue athletics beyond college. So I just went to grad school and then ended up getting a job in corporate America. And I didn't run much at all for a couple years. And my husband, when he ended up proposing to me, I just kind of looked in the mirror and I hadn't run at all in like a year or two. I was really out of shape. And really, I kind of started running again for vanity. I was like, I just want to show up at my wedding and look good in my wedding dress. So I started running again, and I really was having trouble getting out the door every day to run, just to run. I wanted like a goal. So I signed up for a half marathon, and it kind of just snowballed from there. I just realized that it was way more about vanity. I loved setting goals and going after them, and I loved finishing the half marathon. So I signed up for a marathon, and I ran a couple marathons. This was my early to mid 20s. And then, so I was kind of progressing and progressing with each marathon. I was getting better. And then I was in the middle of one marathon, and I was having just an intense amount of rib pain. So I ended up dropping out at mile 18. And I found out later that week that I had two broken ribs, and then found out that I had osteoporosis. And my doctor said, you're done running. Like, this is it for you. You can probably run a couple miles, maybe, you know, a year or two down the road, but no running for you right now. And your career is like over.
And so you're in your mid to late 20s at this point.
Yeah. I think maybe like 27.
Wow.
Somewhere around there, 26 or 27. And I thought, okay, like that's it. Like, this is a doctor, one of the best in the country, saying you can't run anymore. You have osteoporosis. So you're done. So I just stopped cold turkey, and which ended up being like truly a blessing, because at that time, you know, my husband and I wanted to start a family. So I just kind of focused on that instead. And then we focused on having a family. So I really wasn't another 9 years before I got back into running. And that 9 year time period was really focused around like trying to have a family, starting a family, which, you know, to be honest, this could be like a whole nother podcast in itself, mm-hmm. just what we went through to have a family. And we ended up having a set of twins that we lost really quite tragically, and then had another set of twins, and then our son after that. And then when our son was about 18 or 19 months, I had put so much into like trying to become a mother that I put so much pressure on myself to like be the best mom that I could, that I didn't really do anything else besides like focus on being a mom. And so when he was about 18 months, I realized that it just like that really wasn't a healthy space for me to be in, that I wanted something else to, you know, besides like, I'm trying to think of like a way to put this, like just something else to give me confidence besides like the fickle nature of three young kids at home, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a much better or more eloquent way to say it, but I kind of like how, you know, when like a pro runner says that they run better if they don't put all their eggs in one basket, or like when they have things going on in their lives besides running. Well, that's kind of how it was like me being a mom. Like I just, everything in my life was centered around being the best mom I could be. So mm-hmm. when, you know, like my 2-year-old had a tantrum, I was like, oh, I'm a bad mom. I must be doing something wrong. Like,
yes,
I let my identity like fall into being a mom. And I don't think that's healthy, especially when, you know, I mean, just because of the fickle nature of young kids, like if you have a 2-year-old, or like if you've been around a 2-year-old for more than 10 minutes at a time, you know that they have tantrums. And so if you're putting your whole identity and like the behavior of like essentially these little kids, it's just not healthy. So I knew I needed something else to like, I don't know, just help me get more confidence again, or something yeah. else besides these little kids to make me feel like myself, or something that I can control, I guess. So I started mm-hmm. running again, and with no intentions of being competitive, it was more just for mental health. But I did sign up for an Ironman just because I wanted to cross it off my bucket list. Mm-hmm. I really quickly realized that I didn't like swimming or biking all that much. So, but I did realize that my passion for running was still there. So I started running marathons again, and that was in, I think, the fall of 2019. So ever since then, I've been kind of just trying to improve with each one that I've run. So that's it in a nutshell.
I didn't realize it's been that recent that you got back in.
Yeah. So my first marathon back was October of 2019. And then I ended up running Arizona. I was pretty close to the trials qualifying time, and I had not been running like that intensely. And I thought, well, I'll just give it a shot. And I ended up qualifying in January, mid-January, for the trials that were like essentially a month later. So it was super late, but I just, yeah.
So did you go, you did the trials? You went to Atlanta?
I did. Yeah.
Which That's incredible.
Incredible. Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, after a 9-year break and everything that you had been through.
Yeah. And I remember going to the trials just so, it's like, I felt like I was on a different planet just because I hadn't been in the running world. I mean, literally at all. Like I didn't know who was good. I didn't even know it was an Olympic trials year until like December of 2019. Then I was like, oh, I should try to go for it. So when I got there and I was just with these like world-class athletes, I was just like, I just felt like such a fish out of water. I mean, I'd been like breastfeeding my son like 2 nights before, and like, it's just, but then at the same exact time, it was so incredibly refreshing because so many of the athletes were moms with kids. And mm-hmm. it just like going to the trials, essentially, like it almost just like allowed me to give myself permission again to like want to chase after these big goals, you know, because as a mom of three, and especially in my late 30s, I think I was maybe 38 or 39 at the time, I just thought like, you have no business being here. So mm-hmm. when I got there and saw all of these incredible women who also had the same dreams and goals that I did, it was just like so eye-opening for me. And just, it allowed me, and I had struggled for years, like with mom guilt of mm-hmm. why are you leaving your kids to go work out, things like that. And that just really kind of, that experience and that weekend kind of allowed me to give myself permission that like, it was okay, you know?
Yes. I think any mom listening to this, like no matter the level that they run at, completely understands what you're saying. And teaching yourself that it's okay to ask for help. And it's okay if somebody, and it's better than okay. I mean, it's like beneficial for somebody else to take care of your kids, for your kids to know that they're more, you know, there's more than just mom who can care for them and love them.
Yeah. Oh my God. You just took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. It's so good for you and for them. Yeah. And the more people that they know that love them, the better.
But it's still so hard to let go of that. I mean, I still think that so many, like, you know, you coach, I coach, and I'm sure if you coach moms, you encounter this too. Like, we still try to run where it impacts the least amount of people. So it's early in the morning, or it's when they're at sports or at school, or, you know, we rearrange your schedules, and it's just so hard to get past that barrier of like, it's okay to hire a sitter or to have your husband or your mother-in-law or whoever come over.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's just so nice to know that, you know, there's people that, like, for a long time I thought, like, I don't know, like maybe that I was alone in feeling that way. And it's not like you want that feeling for anybody else, but it's just, it's so nice to know that other people like have those same feelings and mom guilt as well. Like, you're not alone. And it's really hard. I mean, I struggled for years. Every single time I went out the door, years, I would almost be on the verge of tears. Like, oh, you shouldn't do this. You're not as good as a mom as you want to be. And that's just not the case. I mean, whatsoever. I fully believe that it makes me better. And not only that, like, your kids, like, they learn the most by watching you, you know, and they're watching you do something hard every day because it makes you better. I mean, isn't that what you want, really?
Oh, I mean, gosh, I founded the whole website and like everything, like, just based on this conversation, like all the lessons that we are teaching them just by them. You know, they're soaking in what we're doing, and it's amazing in so many ways. And then like learning that you are a better mom because you are filling your cup in that way and you're feeling more confident. And yeah, you're putting less pressure on your kids too, because if all of your eggs are in like, I'm going to be the best mom I can be basket, and your kid is melting down in the grocery store and all the other moms are looking at you, judging you, then you're going to be like, I am failing. I'm giving this all I got and I am still not doing it right. You know?
Yeah. It almost like it is just, it allowed me like 100%, like it allowed me to have a little bit of space in between that. Like, okay, like my kid's having a hard day, which has nothing to do with me or like my abilities as a mom. It just, for whatever reason, like, taking some time to do something that fills me up inside allows me to also, like, you know, just say, okay, like, how can I help him, instead of, oh, it's my fault, you know, he's screaming on the floor because, I don't know, I wouldn't give him Cheetos for breakfast or something, and like, somehow that makes me a bad mom. Like, it just, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but it's still the way that our minds work. And like, so much of it too is like, I don't know, I was talking about this yesterday, like, I don't know who I think is watching me and doing it better than me. Because it's, I mean, it's not like society is thriving right now, you know, but it's like, I feel like anytime I make a decision when it comes to parenting, it's always going to, like, in somebody's eyes, it's going to be the wrong decision, you know? And it's just kind of, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, but you have to do what you think is best on that given day for that situation. I don't know. Like this morning, for example, my son, he woke up, we woke him up. It took forever to wake him up and he was feeling really tired. And he started the whole, I'm not going to school, you know, tantrum.
And my son did the exact same thing this morning.
And you may have handled it, but for me, I knew he had a bad day at school yesterday. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to let him, we're just going to chill. I'm going to let him stay, go in late. He wanted me to make cinnamon rolls, so I made him cinnamon rolls, you know, and we just had like a nice, easy morning, and he went into school like 30 minutes late. And I'm, you know, part of me is like, oh, you need to tough love. He needs to get to school on time. And but then the other part of me is like, you know what? Yeah. He's in kindergarten and it's just going to wreck his day if I just like shake him awake and, you know, we go out in the cold and walk to, I don't know. I'm just like,
yeah,
it's there's like a time and a place.
A way to feel guilty about no matter which way you handle the situation sometimes.
Yes, totally. And then I do want to ask you about like, because so most of the time I will say that running fills our cup and makes us a better mom. However, when you're having a grueling workout and you come back and you're exhausted and then you're met with like resistance at everything and like so many big emotions and then your cup is not full, your patience is nil, then those are the days where I'm like, is running making me a better mom?
I've had a few of those too. Like I'll come back. I mean, just completely like went to the well or something and I'm so depleted. And like the second I walk in the house, it's like, mom, you know, somebody needs something. And when you're that tired, you know, inevitably like your patience is not going to be as high as it is when you're, you know, that's a tough one. I think you just have to focus on the long play for that one. Just know that, just do the best you can in the moment and just, when there are some days like that, but I think knowing like nothing's, there's no perfect and there's no, like people talk about, you know, work-life balance and balancing all the cups. And I just don't think that exists. I think you just have to know in your heart that you're doing the right thing. Maybe this is a moment and I don't know.
I feel like you're right. Like, I feel like some days like it's going to be out of balance, but if you look at it as a whole, and it's pretty balanced, you know, there are more days where you're not depleted and you're coming back feeling like you feel confident, you feel energized, rejuvenated. Yes. If that's the norm, then having those days every once in a while is totally fine. Mm-hmm. And it's just part, I mean, especially somebody running at your level, like, I mean, I'm sure you have very big workouts and you are close to superhuman, but you're not a superhuman. So, you know, you're going to come home and you're going to be tired and you're going to need a little bit of time to eat, take a shower and just kind of get your energy back.
Yeah. And I think like just knowing that too, like the days that I do have a big workout, being smart about like when I do it and when as best as I can, like I said, like there's no perfection, but I think like, you know, just being smart about getting like refueling within that 30-minute window. Like not only is that good for your body and your performance, but like also, you know, or like doing something quick and easy. I'm all about like simple, quick and easy. So I'll do like a lot of smoothies or like make kind of healthy snacks and just have them sitting in the fridge so that I'm not worried about, you know, getting something in quickly that takes a long time to prepare. I just like, I'll do something quick and then I have that energy like back and then I can go help take care of them. So,
yes. Yeah, I think that's really key. And like for people who have a tough time fueling during runs, like knowing that you're going to feel that much better recovered and have that much more energy if you fuel during your longer runs.
Oh, absolutely. And there haven't been, I mean, they're like, I'll have really hard workouts, but usually, you know, I try to be smart about like eating before I run, eating during the run, and then having a quick snack afterwards. So really when I come back, you know, I might be tired, but I mean, there's always like energy left over to help the kids or play with the kids. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think you're right. Like just kind of pre-planning and then knowing what works for you. Like I learned for me, the early morning workouts, like the 5 a.m., 5:30, that, I don't know, that just like getting, you know, 6 hours of sleep is hard for me. Like, so I avoid that at all costs until I absolutely have to, because I just know that I'm just not going to be my best self the rest of the day. But
that's exactly right. Or sometimes like one of my tricks is that I'll do kind of like things that I need to do before I put my kids to bed. Like I'll, you know, wash my face and brush my teeth and all that stuff, like while they're doing it. And then when I put the kids to bed, like I put myself to bed right after. So that I, even if I have an early wake up call, like I'm getting my 8 hours of sleep so that after my workout, I still have energy and I'm not feeling depleted. So I think just, you just have to be really smart about the other little things to make sure that you're not, you know, your sport is not carrying over into your life. But I think sometimes it's also like you're saying, like, give yourself permission. It's also okay for them to see like, man, I worked really hard today and because I care about this and I want to be better. And I think just like explaining that to them, like, you know, hi, like I'm really tired because I worked my butt off. And if you want to be good at something, like, and I'll actually tell them like, what do you have to do? And they're like, practice. Like, there you go. This is what it
is. That's great. I'm going to steal that. Yeah. Cause I don't know if I've ever said that to them, like on the days that I am really tired, which usually just happens in the summer. Cause in the summer is, I don't have the luxury of running when they're at school. So at school, I have to wake up early. Yeah. And so in the summer and to like to beat the heat too, but that's when those are the days where I like struggle. And so I'm going to keep that in mind for when the summer comes around and I'm like, mom's really tired. Can we be on our best behavior? But I'm tired because I worked hard. And that's what you need to do. As I'm finger pointing. Okay. So your first marathon is your 2019, October 2019. Can you kind of go through your marathon progression? Because you ran a 2:31, which was your PR at Houston just over a week ago, which is just
amazing. Yeah, I cannot believe that was just a week ago. It seems like it's... yeah, thank you. Yeah, it felt just really good to have, you know, I've been working really hard for a long time. I know there's other people that worked just as hard too and maybe didn't have the result that they wanted. So I'm not taking it for granted. It's so nice when your hard work just comes, you know, this shines. So yeah, in 2019, well, I actually did my Ironman in the summer of 2019, I think August. So I did run a marathon prior to that. I think in like 4 hours or 3 hours and 50 minutes or something like that. But I did not do any, I ran, I think 3 or 4 days a week when I was training for the Ironman and a couple 20 milers, but I didn't do any workouts. And then in about September of 2019 was when I thought, okay, like I want to do a standalone marathon. When you do a marathon at the end of an Ironman, you're just like, don't feel good. You're drained. Yeah. And I thought, okay, like I feel like I'm in decent shape. I want to see what I can do, you know, standalone. So I started doing workouts in September. And I just remember waking up like the very first time, this is the first like structured workout I had done in probably a decade. And I just remember waking up, like I had to do one of those 5:30 a.m. wake up calls because I had to take care of the kids. And I thought, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you waking up 5:30 in the morning to go like put your body through hell? Like you were crazy, yes. You know?
We have those thoughts.
I just ended up doing it. And you know, that feeling you get of accomplishment afterwards kind of just kept driving me to keep doing it. So then I ran a 2:51 in Detroit that October. And then I ended up continuing, like I stepped up my mileage and I stepped up my workouts a little bit over the course of the next 3 months and ended up just barely qualifying for the trials in Arizona, which would have been January of 2020. Yeah. And then ran the trials. And then of course there was that, you know, large layoff of any kind of competition. Yeah. But for me, like it helped me so much to have, I continued to train pretty intensely throughout the pandemic because it mentally, I think more than anything, it helped me so much to have like a sense of control about something when, you know, it's a time when you feel so out of control about so many things. So then when I did do a marathon, I did Grandma's in June of 2021. And end up running like a 2:37. And then, and then Boston the following fall. And then Houston that last January. And I ended up running a 2:33 at Houston. So it's kind of just been like, you know, little by little, just knocking off a little bit at a time.
I would not call that little by little at all. That's because you're super humble. That is a huge, fast progression. Well, yeah, probably because you've been in the... I mean, like marathon cycle after marathon cycle that, you know, you've been working really hard since then. So,
yeah. And it is, it's like, it's a grind and you work really hard. So with everyone, you feel like you're going to, you know, take off minutes and minutes, but even like you said, even a minute or two is still such a big improvement, but I think I'm trying to focus on that. Yeah. Just like, okay, just chip away, just get a little bit better and a little bit better and see what happens.
I feel like, especially at your level too, like those jumps are like, because usually once you get, you know, this is like total just pulling out of thin air, but like once you get like, you know, to 250 and below or something, then it's very incremental, but you were taking like huge chunks off.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, the law of diminishing returns, it is difficult. And there's been a couple marathons where, you know, I've taken off like 20 seconds. But what's funny is like in that marathon cycle, I feel like I made these huge jumps. And then the marathon, I'm always happy with the PR, but like maybe 20 seconds, you know, but what's funny is then sometimes it takes a cycle to catch up. So then like the next time, like I make these big jumps, but you don't always see them. And I did that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's good for people to keep in mind. I feel like if you have a kind of a disappointing race, to know that the work is still in there and it just maybe hasn't come out yet.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it happened to me twice. I ran 2:37 twice and 2:33 twice before I made this big jump of like taking off 2 or 3 minutes.
On a warm day too.
Oh,
it was hot.
It was. Towards the end, I was really feeling, the beginning felt fine. But yeah, towards the end, looking back, it was like the last 5 to 7 miles were, and people were dropping too. Like I was kind of holding the same pace or even getting a little bit slower. And I was just like, flying by a lot of people, I think, because the heat really started to catch up.
How did you keep that, like seeing people drop and knowing that, just feeling that you're getting hotter and hotter? How did you not let that get to you mentally?
Well, I think it helped mentally, thinking like, okay, like I just kept focusing on like the next person. Like this was probably the race where I looked at my watch and my splits the least. And I really just
that
focused
is such
on,
a trend now.
I mean, you know, and I remember that. like listening to a podcast, several of people saying that. And I thought, ugh, like that's not going to be me. And it just kind of organically happened. Like I just thought, okay, like I'm going to just stay within myself the first half. And then I'm just going to focus on, this sounds terrible, but it's not just like hunting people down. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I did. And it was so much fun that like every time I picked a person off, it just kind of gave me this like a more energy to like go after the next one. And I think that's really what helped me stay strong those last 6 miles, is I wasn't, and my times were getting slower. So I think in the past, like in Berlin, I was looking at my splits thinking, oh, like you're getting slower. Whereas this time I thought, well, you're picking people off, so who cares? Like go have fun. And my times ended up, you know, not dropping off really all that much.
So you would surge to pass someone and then kind of settle back into your pace and then find somebody else.
Yeah, not really surging, but I think just I focus more on like just staying strong and just kind of like reeling them in, almost like you just, and then, you know, like a fishing net or pole, and you just kind of reel them in. And then I'd reel that person in and think, okay, like let's reel in the next one, you know. And it's just a much more fun way to race.
It is. Yes. I've tried doing that recently and it is a lot more fun than I've talked on this podcast quite a bit about the anxiety I get when I look at my watch, like, because my coach will give me, you know, like, here are the paces you're supposed to run for your race. And then I like struggle when I start falling off pace, or like it feels really uncomfortable to run at the pace that he has laid out for me. And then it just starts this negative spiral. So I'm really trying to venture towards the not looking at the watch and running by feel. But it's it is tough to do, because I feel like
it's
once you get into that, because before I didn't, like when I entered this sport, like to be more competitive, like I was so pure. I didn't even have a Garmin watch, you know. I would just go out and run. I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, and my coach had like told me the same thing, like don't worry about your watch, just like go, I think he even actually said the word, like go hunt people down. And for some reason it kind of didn't like click until this race, and it was just and it was so much more fun.
So I want to ask you, because you were so humble and relatable, and like your love of the sport is so pure, and I just want, I mean, from what I've heard you in other podcasts and like read your Instagram posts, and like I just want to know how you're able to maintain that, because I feel like, you know, a lot of us, like we enter the sport and it's, we fall in love with running and the community and everything that comes with it. But then once you become more competitive with yourself, then more competitive with other people, like then you start getting drawn into all this pressure on yourself and rivalry that can venture into like the unhealthy zone, and, you know, trying to impress people on Strava or run certain mileage, you know, how all this all goes, I'm sure. Like, how are you able to maintain like that healthy balance between, you know, loving the sport and the community, and but also being competitive at the same time and not like putting too much pressure on yourself?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think, again, like I'm going to come back to like, there's no perfect way to do anything. And it's all just kind of a balance. Like I've certainly had moments where, especially, I mean, I think when I first started kind of getting more competitive again 3 years ago, and like, I had so much time off that almost felt like a teenager again. Like the times just like, it was so easy to improve because I was just starting out. And I think anybody will find that when they first get into the sport, it's so much fun because you just see like such a direct correlation between all this hard work you're putting in and your times improve. And it can be kind of addicting. And then I started to reach this like, oh, okay. I started to like compare myself against like, oh, I did this workout, you know, 6 months ago and like I was faster or I didn't improve that much. And I would start to get really down on myself. Yes. And it was completely like self-inflicted. Like there's not, you know, like I'm not a pro. Nobody's watching. Nobody really cares. But it was just this like self-induced pressure that I felt. And it was kind of hard. Like I wasn't as motivated to run. I felt like this heavy weight around every time I would do a workout. I'm like, well, am I going to get worse? And truthfully, it was really hard. But I kind of just, in my mind, I was like, I just need to take like a step back to try to make it more fun again. And I kind of just like got rid of all the outside, what I felt was like outside pressure. And of course, like, this is, again, this is like self-induced outside pressure. So nobody's like telling me you have to run these certain times. It was things that I was like projecting in my own head. I don't know if that makes sense. So like, I got rid of Strava. I even said to my coach, I was like, I just want to like, like, he would never put pressure on me to like have certain times or run certain times at all. But it was the pressure that I felt of like somebody else seeing what I was doing. So I was like, I'm just going to go like dark. Like, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own workouts, you know, and just kind of like learn to have fun again and like make sure that it's a hobby. And sure enough, like a couple months later, it was like, oh, like, okay, nobody's seeing this. Who cares? Just like do the best you can. And at the same time, like my times also started to just drop and drop. So I think that's part of it. And whatever like capacity that internally you feel like will help you just kind of get back to that. Like, why'd you start this in the first place?
So when you went off Strava and kind of went dark, do you feel like, so you kind of like a self-limitation or a ceiling because of all this extra pressure that you put on yourself? And that's kind of why, and then that lifted once you went off the grid in a way, or?
I don't think it was a ceiling. It was just like, I was kind of letting this, like in my mind, I thought that I had to like improve. And maybe when I wasn't, I was getting kind of down on myself. And then like mentally, it just wasn't as fun. Like running wasn't, the idea of going out and doing a workout wasn't exciting me. I was starting to like dread it. If that makes sense. And I'm like, there's such a delicate balance between like when you work so hard at something, you need a break to kind of let your mind and body reset, and then you're ready to like jump back in full force again. But then there's also like this other side where sometimes you just have to like kind of push through those hard moments, knowing that you're really close to turning a corner to doing something great. And it's so individual, but yeah, it works for me. Just kind of taking out all the outside pressure and just going out and running hard and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I think it takes like a lot of just like looking inward to know, okay, what is sucking the joy out of this? And then kind of experimenting with, okay, well, if I stop looking at my watch or start running by feel instead of by pace or getting off Strava or running with other people, because sometimes it's the company you keep, and kind of playing around with that first to see if that makes a difference.
Yeah. And sometimes too, I think it can go both ways. I think if you do run with a group often and you're feeling like pressure to stay with certain people and maybe you're not, I think that can kind of hurt your psyche too. So sometimes it's like, hey, like, I'm just going to do my own thing. Like, I'm just going to run by myself for a couple months and see what happens. And I think as hard as it is training by myself, sometimes I think that plays into my advantage because like, you know, it's not about like beating other people in practice. It's just like, what do I have on that day? And that's kind of fun too. Like there's no pressure to, you know, keep up with somebody, or if you don't keep up with somebody, you're not disappointed. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. Yeah. We were actually on my at practice today, the girls I was running with, we all had the same sentiment as you. Like we were like, you know, we like running by ourselves a lot of times, especially for like long runs, because sometimes in the big group long runs, you have the pace pushers. And then instead of running easy, like you're supposed to, you're kind of gassed at the end.
Yeah.
But track work, I like doing track work with other people. Like I feel like you feed off the energy and 100%. And it just like sets the tone for the rest of the day. So osteoporosis is no longer an issue for you, or?
Yeah. So, and it didn't like, this didn't happen overnight, but, and this is kind of funny too. I've mentioned this like on another podcast, but so I go into my doctor's office and he says, okay, if you have osteoporosis, you need to stop like running. You need to put more dairy into your diet, you know, at every meal, things like that. And I actually ended up going predominantly like plant-based, predominantly vegan. And then 2 years later, my osteoporosis was basically gone. So it
really?
Has not been an issue. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's because you went plant-based.
I think that was a part of it. I was really smart about making sure I did get plenty of calcium, but like a lot of it is what your body absorbs and not necessarily how much calcium you take in. So I did lots of sources that your body absorbs. And then there was like a supplement that I used that I think helped. It was by like Garden of Life or something like that, like their calcium. And I think it really helped. And obviously, like I had some, like the female athlete triad. So I think also like getting my body to like a really healthy weight was really important also. I definitely don't want to leave that out, but I think it was like combination of like finding a really good supplement, just fueling my body with really high quality foods, and then getting myself to a weight that was, you know, like more in line with where I should have been for my body.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad you were able to figure that out, because it is something that so many people struggle with, and it can be hard. Like, I lost my period for a very long time and I changed my diet, but honestly, like I started, for me, I had to really need to focus on getting more protein and iron. I feel like I wasn't eating enough of that, but it took a while, and it took seeing, you know, a lot of different doctors. And
yeah, it was a whole, it was hard. And then, you know, kind of to piggyback on that, and then we didn't know if we could have kids because I had lost my cycle for so long. So that, I mean, it was devastating. You know, I remember there were months where I was like, okay, did I like do something that my body can't come back from? But I think it's just, your bodies are so resilient. It's amazing what they can come back from.
And our minds too. Like, I know that you were in a very dark place after the loss of your twins. And if you don't mind sharing just kind of how you were able to get yourself out of that and see light, see hope, and move forward.
Yeah, it was, I mean, devastating, like doesn't even do
Yeah, there aren't any words to,
there
aren't,
to describe it. There's no, it's hard to talk about, and I have no problem sharing like what we went through, but it's hard to talk about just because it was just so, we had hurt deep, so deep for so long. So we had, our twins were born premature, and one of our sons died like the same day. And then our other son, we spent like 6 months in the hospital with him. I mean, every single day, all day.
Oh my gosh.
And he ended up getting sickness and ended up dying from that. And then afterwards, it was like, we didn't know if we could have kids again, if we wanted to have kids again. There was just this whole, so many questions. And I think one of the things that helped me is just, this is why I'm so passionate about like people being in sports and putting your kids in sports. And I think a lot of like the lessons that I learned about like perseverance and to never give up and always keep trying. I mean, I don't know if I could have gotten through at least as gracefully that experience as, and there were definitely moments that were not graceful, but as I did, without having those values instilled in me from just a very young age about like, don't give up, like just keep trying, like every day, just, you know, wake up and you never know what's around the corner. Like, and we ended up having a set of twins after that are beautiful and healthy, and then a son after that. But I remember like so vividly, and people are starting to talk about these things more and more now, and that's why I'm so open like to sharing about what we went through. But I remember thinking at the time, like just feeling so deeply alone, like, you know, at the time that it seemed like when we were going through this, everyone around us was like getting pregnant, like no trouble with their pregnancies at all. Everything was perfect and healthy. And I just thought like, why me? Like, why is, what's wrong with me that like this is happening to me? But I think, and it's funny, like now, like the more open I am about sharing it, you hear so many stories like, oh, me too. And thank you for sharing that, because I'm going through this and it helped me so much. So I think like more than anything, just like if you're going through something like that, or you're not alone, like it's just, I think that for me was one of the hardest parts about going through that, is I felt like, you know, just so deeply alone, but that's not the case at all, I don't think.
So you didn't feel like you had a safe space where you could talk about it?
Well, I mean, there were definitely like, I just felt like nobody could like understand how bad it hurt, because they hadn't, I didn't know anybody who had like been through something like that. So I have so many wonderful people and family like in my life that would listen and be so gracious about understanding, like hurting too. And like, I mean, everybody in our family hurt just like we did, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. I just felt like everybody else had all these beautiful, healthy kids, and it was like just me that was struggling.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And that is such a wonderful point that I didn't think about. And it kind of ties back to the beginning of our talk about like the lessons that we teach our kids through our running. And, you know, like, they see us get knocked down. They see us keep working hard. When they start sports, they get to do that too. And you're right. Like, that is a lesson, and that like a muscle that you work that plays out into other areas of your life.
Yeah. It's just, and that's like, I think I tell myself those things when I'm in like the middle of like a mom guilt episode. Yeah. It's like, think about all these things that like, it's just like sports. It's just, it spills over into every other part of your life. Like, there's so many lessons. It's just, yeah, it's incredible. And it's essentially, I think it's because like you're in this kind of maybe stage that feels like it's like there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of big deal, but really it isn't. Like, who cares if you run, you know, 230 or 240 or 520? Like, there's nobody really cares too much besides you, but like it's in the moment when you're in it, like it feels like a big deal. So I think you learn to like deal with that situation when nothing really is on the line. So when something is on the line, it's like, okay, like I've been here before, like I can do this.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, that is an idea that I'm like really have attached myself to this year is mm-hmm. like just teaching yourself, like going through it and learning like, okay, I've been here before. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And just like,
I can do this. Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like we would be remiss to not talk about the fact that you are a master's athlete and you're like running these super fast times and like setting records. So is there like, do you have any lessons or anything that's worked for you as a master's athlete? Or is it like, you don't, you know, 40 is the new 20 for you?
Well, a little bit of both. I think partially because I did have such a long layoff that I do, like I said, I kind of like in my own head, I'm like, oh, well, you're practically just like a teenager because you had so much time off. You've only been doing this like really hard for like 3 years. So like there's so much room for improvement. But I think mm-hmm. the bigger thing is just like, I don't like mentally, I'm not going to set a limit on myself mentally. And I'm just going to put in the work and like see what happens, you know? And I think if you're taking care, a master's athlete, it becomes more important to take care of the little things.
Yeah.
So I think nutrition, upping your protein content, taking really good, high quality supplements, mm-hmm. getting
which
enough sleep.
We both take Prevenex.
Oh, Prevenex has been like, yeah, like a game changer. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, like exactly. And that's why I reached out to David over at Prevenex because I wanted like the best because like those little things do make a really big difference. And then like sleep and, you know, all these things, strength training, Pilates. I'm doing like a lot of Pilates now, which I think is really helping. So I think you can still be competitive up until your mid 40s, but you have to really be smart about doing all the little things. More so than like you can't get away with as much as when you were in your 20s.
Yes, when you're going to run at 5:30, you're not rolling out of bed at 5:20.
Yeah, right. Like you have to fuel before your run and fuel during your run and all those things. But I think if you are doing those things, I think you can continue to improve. I mean, look at Sinead Diver, who just ran what was like a 2:22 or something, and she's 45.
Like, oh yes, yeah, that's right.
I mean, and I think in my own head, because I'm not immune to doubt, those things cross my mind. But I think like I'm like actively seek out examples that prove that to be otherwise. Like mm-hmm. people like Sinead Diver and like, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, look at even Kipchoge, like he's late 30s mm-hmm. and he's setting world records. So yeah. I think just reminding yourself of all these examples of people who are doing it. And then instead of thinking, oh, why them and not me? I think flipping it in your head and saying like, if them, why not me too?
Yes. Yeah. I love all of that. Yes. Because I don't know, like I was injured for a very long time and I started back running this past year and I'm 41 now. And like in the back of my mind, I keep thinking like I have this like it's my time is going to expire soon. And I keep telling that to shut up. But when I was injured, I had so many people like pointing out the fact that these injuries were coalescing around my 40th birthday. And I was like, that's not the reason. It's not the reason. No, I didn't. And I refused to see it as a factor. Instead, it like you, for the most part, it's just like in the back of my mind that like, hey, you need to pay attention to the little things.
Yeah, you just need to be smart and just stay consistent. Like, I think that's such a big piece as well.
Oh yeah. Consistency in this sport. It's everything.
Everything. Yeah.
So when you have bad days, when you have mom guilt episodes, you just kind of keep going.
Yeah.
So do you know, are you able to share what's next for you?
I'm still kind of debating. I'm just trying to figure out my schedule still. I'm not quite certain. So
you're still in like your zen post-marathon phase right now.
That's just exactly right. Yeah.
Enjoying your Pilates and your easy runs. And
yes, that's exactly right.
That's awesome. I love that you do that. And that it's just, so you'll start back like once you feel like you're ready, like your body and mind is ready. It's not like a hard and fast, okay, on Wednesday, we go right back into it or.
Yeah, a little bit of both. So I mean, my body feels pretty good. I don't have like an exact workout date, but I know like I'll take this week easy and then kind of just go back into it. And like each training cycle builds upon the last. So I don't think, even though I don't have like a definitive race schedule, like I know I'm going to want to do something. So I want to be fit when I do.
Yes. So you're currently coaching yourself right now? So it's kind of...
Yeah. So I had been working with my coach since the trials, like the week of the trials. I was like, well, I mean, I probably should get a coach. So I've been working with him basically since like the week of Atlanta. And then like, as I mentioned, I just kind of for my own like psyche, I just wanted to hit pause and like make things fun again. And so I did just this last training cycle, I did like kind of by myself. And then we'll start working together again going forward. Yeah.
And then you coach.
I do. Yeah. And it's been so much fun.
If people are interested in learning more about you as a coach, where would they find that info?
Yeah, you can reach out to me like via Instagram. So I'm at A Pomeransky. Yeah. And it's just been so, just so rewarding. You know, I think really at the end of the day, like, I mean, this is all about like helping other people kind of have better quality of life. And I think mm-hmm. running has been such an integral part of doing that for me, like enhancing my life in so many ways. And it's so much fun and rewarding to kind of share some of those things and think, oh, like that, like this thing that helped me also helped you, and to see it actually like help other people. I just, it's like the cool, yeah, it's just, it's awesome.
Oh, you put and that so beautifully. Like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really like that's what it's all about is, you know, helping other people kind of in their own journey of, you know, getting better. And it's been fun. One of my closest friends, I coach her, and just seeing her kind of light up inside when she has a good workout or has a good race, it's just, it's the best.
Yes. So what do you say to the athletes who kind of struggle with that internal pressure, or, you know, think like, why am I not running, you know, this pace, or I used to run this pace. Why, like, how do you kind of right the ship for them?
I think like, don't lose your ability to like dream big. And I think mm-hmm. like kind of hold on to that, like whatever it is, if your dream of running a certain time or qualifying for Boston or whatever, like always kind of hold that in the back of your mind. Like, why am I doing, like, what's my dream? And like, let that kind of get you through like the day to day of putting in the work. And I think it, like that putting in the work will kind of take care of itself. And then I think too, like, if you're thinking, okay, maybe like, why am I keep doing this? Like, it's hard. I mean, I don't, like, one of the things that's always driven me is like, and a lot of the decisions I make is like, I'm more afraid of looking back and not going after something that resonates really deeply with me than I am of going through like really hard or uncomfortable things to potentially make that happen. So I think just like kind of getting clear with yourself and saying, okay, like this is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard, but I want to try anyway, because I don't want to look back and think, what if?
Yes. That is the right? Power of regret. Yes.
Yeah. And then, so like when I was struggling, when I was in my phase where I was kind of like, oh, I wasn't seeing a ton of improvement. It was hard. I thought, okay, like you could quit. Look, you don't have to do the workout today. But then I thought in my head, okay, like when it's like 5 p.m. this evening, like I don't want to look back and think, oh, I wish I would have done the workout. And then, so I kept doing it. And then all of a sudden, like I turned this corner and the times just were a byproduct of that.
I love that. Yes, that is a main driver for me too. Like if mm-hmm. the alarm goes off and I'm like, oh, but the bed is so warm and it's so dark outside. And the power of run anxiety is real yes. too, because then like the rest of the day you're like, oh, my, but yeah. can I get it in?
Can I get yeah. it in? Yeah. And that doesn't get easier. But like, I know like my motivation just keeps getting less and less as the day goes on. So like when that alarm clock goes off, I'm like, okay, but like I have to, like I just, you have to do it.
Yes. I wonder if most people are that way. My motivation is, I guess if you're a morning person, like my motivation is way higher in the morning to go do it.
Yeah. And especially when you're a mom, like something always comes up.
Yes.
Yeah. Something always comes up. And even like when the kids go to school, I'm like, oh, I don't have to do it right now. But then in my head, I'm like, okay, but what if I get a call, like your son's sick, you have to pick him up. So just do it now. Yes.
Yeah, no, totally. Yes. And then I,
mind games. Yeah. Yeah.
So true. Well, this has been such a great conversation. We'll have to meet one day and run in real life.
Oh, that would be so incredible. And I just want to thank you like genuinely from the bottom of my heart. I think we kind of talked about like before you started recording of like, there's like a love-hate relationship with Instagram. And on one hand, like there's just so many unrealistic ideals of life that people paint that's just not true. But there's such a beautiful side of it. And like your account is like that beautiful side. And like, I would not be where I am today without people being so honest about like just life and parenthood and trying to fit it in as a competitive runner. So it's just, thank you so much for all that you share.
I cannot tell you how much that means to me. Yeah, it is really like, sometimes you look at it and it like you connect with people and it fills you with such joy. But then other times, like you look at other accounts and it just makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, even if you know that's not real, it's still like plants that like negative seed in your head. And now I don't know if you've noticed this, and this is a big tangent, but like now I'm getting hit with a bunch of ads where it's like, oh, my kid had all these tantrums, but then I realized it was because, you know, they needed this vitamin, or they, you know, it's just like attacking the, you know, the most vulnerable spot of parents and saying, here's the quick fix for you, or this fancy swing, this, you know, they just had too much energy in it. Yeah, no, I know. It's just,
I'm very picky about the accounts that I follow now. And if there is an account that even like triggers me in the slightest, I'll just unfollow. But sometimes it's harder, easier to mention too.
Well, you have amazing self-restraint, because like going off Strava and doing that, yes, I need to go through and probably clean out my feed as well. But it's also like, as someone who, when you're on Instagram, like I feel like it's a tough line to walk to, because you want to be honest, but you never want to seem 100%. Ungrateful. You know, you don't want to seem ungrateful or like you're complaining, you know.
Yeah, but you know, some days are really hard, and I struggle with that. Like with kids, it's like hands down, like the best thing that's ever happened to me is having kids. It's like my biggest accomplishment. It's my greatest joy. Mm-hmm. But there are so many days that it's just like, I'm going to pull my hair out, or it's really hard, or I call my mom crying. Like, I don't think I can do this.
Yes.
I mean, and I'm just being so real, but at the same time, like it's incredible. But, and then I think like, it's okay to feel both of those things and know that you're not like the only one that's going through these things.
So true. Like, I think, and knowing the, like I'm saying, like the power of regret, like the power of and, like, I love my kids and they're driving me crazy today.
And it's hard. Yeah. My favorite. So what I'll do, like if I'm having like a particularly challenging, I don't know, afternoon or moment, I'll go on and I'll find, I have follow these accounts that are like memes, like mom memes, and I'll just like read them over and over again. And it's like, okay, I feel a little bit better. And then I'll just go back to the battlefield.
Oh, that's great. I need to do that. I usually go to like golden retriever reels. Look at dog reels. Helps me. Yeah. But it's like, you know, on Saturday, for whatever reason, like everybody was cranky in my house. Like there was no good reason, but just everybody was cranky. And it was like, no matter what we tried to get out of the crankiness, we just couldn't. And it's just, you know, but just like some days are like that. And then, you know,
some days are like that. Yeah.
And then I was starting to feel the mom guilt. I'm like, well, I'm a bad mom because I'm not able to like make them happy, or I'm not coming up with this like magical idea that everybody wants to do, you know. And it's just, 100%. It's just some days are like that, you know.
Some days are like that. Yeah. And I have really great kids, but then they still have moments like that. Yeah. So it's hard.
We're human. We have emotions.
Yeah. You know?
Well, awesome. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm sure we could talk for like hours. I feel like we only like skim the surface, but we'll have to do it again.
Oh, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your down week.
Yeah, you as well. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Again, thank you so much, Andrea. And thank you all for listening to The Passionate Runner. You can find the full show notes for every episode, which includes a summary and any of the resources mentioned at runnerclick.com/podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're enjoying the content and getting value from the episodes, we really would love to hear from you. So leave a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast, or you can also go to ratethispodcast.com/thepassionaterunner. We will talk to you next time.